we're just going to jump right in because I already prayed. I don't know if y'all caught that, but I always like to pray before we go to the scriptures because we truly need his help to really understand the scriptures. It's only by the Holy Spirit that we can really comprehend the Word of God. This is why some religious people can read and study the Bible. Some of them get degrees studying the Bible, and yet they have no idea of what it really means. So we always pray because we acknowledge that we need the Lord's help to understand the truths of His Word, but also it is to prepare our heart that we are ready to receive the Word of God. We're ready to hear His Word. Jesus said in Luke 8:18, "Take heed how you hear." It's real important what you hear. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Y'all know that song? It's not just true for little ones. No, it's true for all of us. We need to be careful about the voices that we listen to. But you also need to be careful. You need to take heed how you hear. It's so important that our hearts are really open and receptive to the Word of God. And that we hear, not just with the physical ear, but we hear with our heart when the Word of God is sown. So we pray that we'd hear, that our hearts would be open and receptive. See, if we want to be more like Jesus, anybody want to be more like Jesus? You know what? Every sincere follower of Jesus, that's why we follow Him, is we want to be more like the Master. Amen. We're not Christians just to see what we can get, right? No, we're Christians because we love Him and we want to be more like our Savior. And every disciple, when he's complete, is like his Master. We won't be just like Him until we see Him. But I'm looking forward to that day. Until then, I'm just this weak vessel that every day wants to be a little bit more like Jesus. But if we want to be more like Jesus, we need to learn to hear like Jesus. Jesus heard the voice of the Father all the time. But Jesus, as He walked this earth, He was always in tune with the Father's voice. He was always speaking what the Father told Him to say. He was always doing what the Father told Him to do. He heard His Father's voice. Do we? Jesus quoted Isaiah in speaking of those who didn't receive Him. We read it last week, Matthew 13, 14 and 15. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, "Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them." Now, Jesus is saying that these people have closed up their ears. I mean, they have ears and they have eyes, but they refuse to see, they refuse to hear, and their hearts don't understand. And I'm just telling you, it's so important how we hear. Jesus says, take heed how you hear. In Matthew 11, 15, He tells us, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You know what? This sounds kind of strange to us if we just think about this in the natural, but we need to understand He's talking about that we truly hear with our hearts. Those words, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear," those words are found over and over again in the New Testament. One translation says it this way: if a man has ears, he should use them. Yeah, pretty simple, isn't it? But God is always challenging His people to truly hear what He is saying. Many times throughout the Old Testament, the Lord would say, "Hear, O Israel." He's telling them, "Listen, listen." And I'm telling you, we need to hear that in the body of Christ today. Listen, God is still speaking. We need to hear what the Lord is saying to us. In fact, in each of the seven churches in Revelations, they are told, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. All seven different churches that he speaks to, and all seven of them he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We need to have a hearing ear. Take heed how you hear, that you truly hear with the heart. James 1:19 says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. This is a verse of Scripture that, in the context, I believe it is especially talking about in our human relationships. In fact, there's a reason that God gave us one mouth and two ears, right? Some people have that backwards. But in human relationships, we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Think before you speak. But it's also true in our relationship with God. What if we applied this principle in our prayer life? Your prayer life would get a whole lot more exciting. Now, don't misunderstand me. We need to talk to God. We need to pray. We need to take our needs to the Lord. We need to pray for His kingdom to come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to pray. We need to do some talking to God. But you know what? We also need to do some listening to God. I know that in the body of Christ at large today in America, most Christians, they struggle to hear from God. They struggle to, many of them, even with the possibility that God speaks today. Well, that's just for crazy people. But I'm telling you, there's a way that we can hear from God. As a child of God, we are supposed to hear Him. And we need to learn to hear our Father just like Jesus did. As you read the Gospels about the life of Jesus, it's so evident that His ears were always tuned to the Father's voice. Jesus walked in perfect obedience. You can't do that if you don't hear His voice, if you don't have a hearing ear. John 8:25-29, then they said to Him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but He who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from Him. Where did He get this stuff? He got it from the Father. Verse 27, they did not understand that He spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please Him. He said, I just repeat what the Father tells me. Oh, that we could learn to do that. To just say what the Father tells us to say. I do nothing on my own. I just speak what the Father has taught me. He heard His Father's voice, and He did what the Father told Him to do. How can we be like Jesus if we don't learn to hear the voice of God so that we can do what our Father wants us to do? I'm talking about what should be a normal Christian life is that every day we are listening, we're hearing the voice of our Father as we walk through this world, even while you're driving in traffic, even while you're at work, even while you're with your family at home, that our hearts are in tune with the voice of the Father, that at any time He can speak to us. Y'all don't get quiet on me tonight. I know this is a word that we need in the body of Christ, but we got to learn to hear with our heart. And you know, if we did that, we can be like Jesus. How amazing it would be to be able to say, I always do what pleases my Father. Wouldn't you like to always please the Father? Always be listening to His voice and doing what He wants you to do. That's our goal, is that we learn. You know, it's a process. Nobody has arrived at this. Nobody, there's only one perfect. That was Jesus. The rest of us, we're just learning. But we ought to always be learning and growing. Learning to hear with our heart what our Father wants us to say, what our Father wants us to do. Many times people hear what the Lord is saying through His Word, through preaching, teaching, through another believer. They hear, you see, they hear with the ear, but are they hearing with the heart? I know this is true every time I preach. There are going to be people who hear with the heart, and there are going to be people who only heard with their ears. Most of the time, the Lord speaks to us with a still small voice. It is an inward witness. Some put it this way, it is just when you know on the inside. That voice is so often drowned out by other voices. If we're going to hear like Jesus, we got to tune out the other voices. Think about this. Before the 19th century, it was common throughout church history that people heard the voice of God. I'm not talking about audible voices. I'm talking about that they believed that God directed them. They believed that God spoke to them in their heart. But after the 19th century, or beginning in the 19th century, we have so many other voices coming at us all day long, every single day, whether it's through the radio or it's through the TV or it's through the internet. Can you imagine how quiet your life would be if there was no electricity, if there was no phone battery, all right? We got to get that one too, right? Can you imagine how quiet your life would be without any kind of any electronic devices, okay? Just go back 100 years, and I'm telling you, people heard from God a lot more than they do today. And what I'm saying to you is that sometimes if we really want to hear from God, this, I'm not preaching against TV and internet and phones. But I'm telling you that if we want to learn, if we want to really tune in and hear the voice of God, we got to turn down the other voices. And I have seen this over the years again and again and again when we go on a retreat. When people go on a retreat, you know what? It is not just the messages that are preached. I'm not discounting the power of God's word being preached and taught. I believe in that. I mean, obviously, I believe in that. I'm doing it right now. But I want you to understand that one of the most powerful things about a retreat, how is that so different than just some more sermons at church? I want to tell you, because people get away from their normal routine. They get away from the TV a little bit and the phone a little bit and Facebook a little bit. I mean, for God to speak to some people, He has to get on Facebook. And you know, I suppose God can speak to you through Facebook. I mean, He can write on the wall. He did it in the Old Testament. But I think a lot of people read some meme, some joker came up with and posted on Facebook, and they think it's God speaking to them. I'll tell you what, God can speak to you without Facebook. And sometimes we just need to disconnect from all of that stuff and get along with God, get quiet, shut out the other voices. Pilate, before he gave the word for Jesus to be crucified, his wife was warned in a dream that Jesus was innocent. And she tried to convince Pilate. She tried to tell him, don't do anything to this man. I want to read to you from Luke 23:23-24. It says, but they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they had requested. You see, sometimes God will use somebody to speak to us. But sometimes it's just the voice of the crowd. Sometimes it's just, you know, the loudest voice. You know, that old squeaky wheel gets the grease. We got to get to the place where we know how to turn down the other voices and tune them out so that we can really tune in to what God is saying. We need to have a hearing checkup. Who are we listening to? The multitude? The voices that shout the loudest? There's a lot of that in our culture. It's the brightest bulb. It's the loudest voice. It's the big personality. It's all the flash. And then we wonder why we miss the still small voice of God. I want to tell you that God can speak loudly, but he is not going to force himself into our life. I don't know how often the Lord yells, but I know that it's not often. And if you're not listening to him, usually you're not going to hear him. So many voices in this world. You know, when Jesus told the disciples how that he was going to suffer, Peter rebukes him. He tries to tell Jesus, he says, no, this is never going to happen to you. And Jesus rebukes Peter. He says, get thee behind me, Satan. You have in mind the things of men and not the things of God. And what I'm saying to you is that it can even be a brother, a sister in the Lord. They think that, you know, they think they're telling you what's good for you, but they have in mind the things of men and not the things of God. And we need to be where we can truly discern the difference and know when our Father is speaking to us. Religious voices that try to get you to follow tradition, all kinds of compromising voices, worldly voices all around us. And here's a big one, the voice of reason. Anybody ever heard of the voice of reason? Yeah, you have. Just do the logical thing. You know what? I'm going to say this very plainly. We need to be wise. And we don't need to act foolish, but there are times when if we're really listening to God, we're not just going to do the logical thing. There are times, not every day, all the time, all through the day. Some people just get kind of crazy. But there are times when God will tell us to do something that's not the logical thing. And it's in those times that God uses us to make a difference in this world. It's not the voice of reason that gets it done. No, it's when, like Jesus, it's the voice of our Father. That's what gets it done. And we just need to be aware. There's so many voices that will distract you. Now, before we get spit in the dirt and make some mud and put it in somebody's eyes like Jesus did, we better know that we've heard the voice of the Father. And I think that what has done so much harm to the body of Christ is wacky people. There's a difference in being spiritual and being wacky. And I'm just going to jump out here. We all miss God sometimes if we, you know, are expecting God to speak to us. We all have made mistakes. Like I said, everybody but Jesus. But we also need to be wise about not saying the Lord told me unless he really did tell us. We got to know that we know that we know. And there's too much of that in some religious circles where they're just guessing. Okay, I'm just going to move on. but how we need to hear God and not allow the voice of reason to override his voice in the circumstances of life. Sometimes those circumstances can speak so loudly, and rather than making our decisions based on what the Lord is telling us, we make our decisions based on what's happening around us. You know, Jesus is such an example to us. He never reacted to people and circumstances. Instead, he responded by doing what the Father told him to do and saying what the Father told him to say. I don't know about you, but my old human nature, in my own self, in my own weakness, you know what? I can be sarcastic and smart aleck, make jokes at the wrong time. Anybody else like that? Listen, if that's not you, believe me, you've got your own set. But if I listen to the Spirit, if I'm in tune with my Father's voice, it is that flesh. Now, I'm just going to take a rabbit trail here. It's not really. I really believe the Lord instructed me during the worship time to talk about this, and so I'm gonna. But at the first of the year, it is a great time to begin a season of prayer and fasting. And I myself am gonna do that, and many of you have done that the last couple of years. And I would just encourage all of you to get that on your calendar. We haven't talked about it yet. I will be, but I wanted to put it out there tonight because as we're talking about hearing God, one of the voices that screams at us is our own flesh. It responds to all of the things in this world. And for us to really hear God, we've got to subdue that voice. Hear me now. You see, one of the powerful things that happens when we pray, and especially when we fast, is that we get our body under subjection and we tune in to the Spirit. It makes it so much easier when you quiet the flesh. Now, some of you are thinking, well, when I fast, my flesh screams. Oh, I know. I know all about it. I like that food. But here's what I also know, is that it also weakens the flesh, and so that we can be more in tune with what our Father is saying to us, more in tune with the Holy Spirit. And so I just encourage you tonight to get that on your first of the year schedule, that's going to be a part of the beginning of your new year. But I want to say this again. It's so amazing how we can hear him when we just get away from all the other voices, when we just have time to get alone with him and really listen to him, where there's not any distractions. I want to look at the example of Jesus again in Mark 1, 35 through 38. Jesus has just finished healing many, many people. It says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place and he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they found him, they said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.'" Jesus was more concerned about time to shut out all the other voices and get alone with his Father than he was his fame, his own importance, or even the needs. So many people that need to be healed, need to be delivered. Everyone's looking for you, Jesus. Everyone's looking for you. And most of us, we would have gotten caught up in listening to those voices and saying, okay, I'll be right there. Let's go back. Let's go. Let's get it done. But you see, Jesus was in tune with his Father. He got away early to a solitary place where he could pray, where he could be alone with his Father. And I want to say this again. Sometimes, yes, God speaks to us through other people, but we need to know the difference between God speaking through someone and when it's just people. In verse 38, it says this, But he said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. In the short time that he walked this earth, he had so much to accomplish, and he couldn't do it if he just listened to the voice of the people. He had to stay in tune with the voice of his Father. And in John 17:4, in his prayer, he says, I have accomplished everything that you gave me to do. And I tell you, for us to accomplish what the Father wants us to do, we have to get alone with him and sit and wait. I got responsibilities. I don't have time. Who's got time for that? Anybody ever tried this? Okay, God, speak to me. I got nothing. How about this one? Psalm 46 and 10. Be still and know that I'm God. You know why you can be still? Because you know that he's God. We're not. Some of us think that we've got to take care of this. Here's the amazing thing. If you really have a lot to do, things that matter, especially things that would matter in eternity, you need to hear from God. Because if you hear from God, then you can truly be fruitful. Then you can truly be effective. I mean, when you've got the blessing of God on what you're doing, how much better is that? The disciples fished all night, caught nothing. One word from Jesus, cast the net on the other side of the boat. They got more than they could pull in. The nets broke. But we think we're so busy, so many responsibilities, we don't have time to be still and wait. Luke 5:15-16, it says, however, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he went on TV. No, that's not what it says. That's the way it would be in our generation. Not Jesus, but I'm talking about, anyway. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Anybody more important than Jesus? No. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. I'm certain that Jesus heard the voice of the Father all the time as he was ministering to the people. I know myself that I often have heard the Lord speak to me when I wasn't necessarily in prayer or in a solitary place alone with the Lord. And yet Jesus needed those times. How do we think we don't? That is how we shut out all the other voices and we tune into that voice. In fact, I think if we don't have those times, then so often we won't be able to hear him in the midst of the busyness of life and the loudness of all the other voices. Jesus, our example. Next, we need to have time for the word. If we want to hear God, I want to tell you that so often he speaks to us through his word. It is not a dead book. It declares itself to be alive and powerful. How we should desire that God speak to us through the word. That every time we read it, you see, if we really expect that the Holy Spirit would speak to us, take that logos, that written word, and make it a rhema word where he speaks to us, then we would read it so much more than we do. But so often when God speaks, it is through the word of the Lord. And how we need to go to God's word every day. What a privilege it is that we have. You know, the Lord Jesus certainly did not carry around a leather-bound King James Bible like some people think he did. I had a guy was real mad at me one day after a service years ago because I preached out of the NIV. And I thought he was kidding at first. I had never experienced that before. And so I kind of thought he was kidding. I said, so you think I just preached from the King James like Jesus did? And he said, that's right. And just in case anybody's confused about that, the King James Bible was not written until 1600 years after that. Okay, just anyway, Jesus didn't have a King James. So, but Jesus, the Word made flesh, amen, John 1:14, the Word made flesh, who dwelt among us, he knew the Word of God, and we need to know what the Word says. That's one of the ways that we discern whether or not we're really hearing from God, because whatever God says to you will line up with the whole counsel of God's Word. If it doesn't line up with the whole counsel of God's Word, that ain't God, because he doesn't ever contradict himself. He's not confused, and he's not schizophrenic. It's one of the ways you can know if somebody else is speaking to you, whether or not it's God. If they're saying something that doesn't really line up with the scripture, it's definitely not God. But we got to have time for the word of God. If we want to hear his voice, we need to get into the word. Jesus told the parable of the sower and how the seed of the word of God fell on four different types of soil or hearts. He gave four different examples, and three-fourths of them didn't bring forth fruit. Three-fourths of them. The one soil that did, he explains that it is those who received the word and cherished it. They retained it. I want to tell you, we need to cherish the word of God. We need to hold on to it. And when God does speak to us, we need to get it down in our heart and cherish it. Hang on to it. A lot of the time, people get something from God, and 2 weeks later, they're right back where they were. The fruit is gone. No, you got to cherish it. You got to hang on to it. When God speaks to you, you don't just let it pass through. You hang on to that and you apply it in your life. You know there's something wrong with your hearing when you don't do what the word says. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now I want you to hear me now. You see, if we're not doing what the word says, we didn't hear right. Remember he said, take heed how you hear? The scripture says that if we hear it and we don't do it, we're deceiving ourselves. That's those people that Jesus was talking about in that prophecy from Isaiah. They don't understand with their hearts. They've deceived themselves. They refuse to hear. They refuse to see. How much more effective would we be if we heard? If we listen for that still small voice in his leading. In John 15:5-8, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Now, some people like to pull verse 7 out of context and just take it as a blanket promise that whatever I want, that's not what he's talking about. In the first place, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. But in the context of this passage, he's talking about his disciples bearing fruit. And I'm telling you, when we are doing the work of the ministry, when we're letting God use us and we are abiding in him and his word abides in us, there's not anything we're going to ask that he's not going to do, that he's not going to empower us, that he's not going to bring to pass when we're praying for people. I'm just telling you, this promise is real. He says, verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. There's such a powerful principle here that if we'll spend time with the Lord and get his word in us, then there's not anything we can't accomplish. We just got to learn to hear that voice, that still small voice. You know, the Lord speaks all kinds of ways. He speaks through angels and visions and dreams and prophets and even donkeys, but most of the time, he speaks by his Spirit. It's kind of a dangerous subject when you talk about God speaking, because there's a lot of nuts out there, but there's a lot of nuts driving cars, and I still drive one. And I'm not going to start saying that God doesn't speak just because nutty people say that. He does speak. It's part of the Christian life. John 10 and 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So we got to settle in our own heart that he speaks. He's always spoken. He spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. He spoke to Noah to build an ark. He spoke to Abraham about all kinds of things. Abraham was called the friend of God. The Lord even spoke to Lot and his family through an angel, warning them that they needed to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord spoke to Jacob and Joseph and many others through a dream. He spoke to some through visions, like Saul turned to Paul. He spoke to Moses through a burning bush. Later, he spoke to him face to face as a man with his friend. God spoke through the prophets, and throughout church history, he's been speaking to all those who would listen. Our culture has this mindset that anybody that thinks God speaks to them is a kook. But as a Bible-believing Christian, you need to know that God really does speak to us, and we need to hear his voice. How we need that. I think one of the deceptions that cause many to miss the voice of God is, and I'm just going to put this out there, especially in spirit-filled circles, is going by our feelings. I just feel. And I just want to say, I like emotion. I mean, I've seen church with and without. I'll take mine with, right? I don't want a dry, emotionless church. I like it. And I'm an emotional kind of guy. I hide it good. But, you know, when we're watching a sappy movie, I'm the one over there wiping the tears while Carmen's not. Don't tell anybody that. Is this on the internet? I'm just saying, I like emotion, but I got to tell you that emotion is not the Holy Spirit. Just because you feel something, just because you're stirred emotionally, that doesn't mean that it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that still small voice. It is that knowing on the inside. And sometimes your flesh and your emotions might be telling you something way different than what the Holy Spirit's telling you. Let me just give you a good example. When somebody cuts you off in traffic and you want to give them the what for, and you're really feeling it. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of angry Christians nowadays, and they're trying to justify their anger. I'm telling you, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. You see, there's a good example that we're talking about anger, and most of us are smart enough to figure out, yeah, that's not the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we get stirred in other ways emotionally, and we automatically think that's the Holy Spirit. No, you got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit inside, because it's not just about what you see and what you feel, but he does speak. We need to tune in. Do you know there's no record in the Bible of a Pharisee ever saying, well, you know, the Lord spoke to me. But there's Jesus saying, I only do what he tells me to do. I only speak what he's taught me. We're his disciples. We want to be like him. And here's an amazing truth. He wants to talk to you. Amazing. Revelation 3:20, not written to the lost, written to the church, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. Dine with him. He's not talking about natural food. He's talking about communion. He's talking about fellowship with us. I'll dine with him and he with me. And who's he saying this to? It wasn't John who wrote it. It wasn't just the Laodicean church. No, it was written for us. In Revelation 3:22, just two verses later, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He was saying it to the churches. We need to listen for his voice. We need to learn to hear his voice more every day. That's what our Savior did. He heard the voice of the Father. We want to be like him. And wherever you are in your walk with God, I want to tell you, God can speak to you. If you know the Lord, if you're a born-again believer, he can speak to you. But you got to open that door. You got to get alone with him. You got to seek him in his word. And you got to be willing to turn off, to tune out those other voices. So much of it coming at us all the time. And it can become such an addiction. I'm telling you, I challenge you. Not because those electronic devices are sinful, but just because so often if you separate yourself from those things, it's amazing how you can hear God when you get alone with him. It may take a while. You know, we want instant everything. Just like I was illustrating earlier, you know, we want to sit down and in 5 seconds we say, okay, God, speak to me, and it doesn't happen. We say, well, that doesn't work. That preacher, he don't know what he's talking about. I do know what I'm talking about, and what I know is that he's not our errand boy. He is holy, mighty God. And it's not a game. It's real. And we love him. We're supposed to love him with all our heart, mind, and soul, and strength. And I'm telling you, you get alone with him and you desire to hear his voice and you seek him, he'll speak to you. He'll show you things. I've seen it over and over and over. The people that didn't know that God could speak to them, and they start praying, spending time in the word, listening. And all of a sudden, God begins to reveal things to them, show them things that they didn't see before, they didn't know before. They start rising to a new level spiritually. They start being used of God more. And I just challenge you and encourage you tonight, as you start into this new year, see this happen in your life. Believe it's, some of you say, no, I hear God. Believe for more. Let's learn to be more like him. I want you to stand with me, and I'm going to dismiss you in prayer.